This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 6. Welcome to Kanenbaum Podcast, a podcast designed to offer the Christian rest during life's journey, sharing music by those who support the teaching of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Wells. I'm Tom Barthel, glad to be serving as your host for this episode. This is episode number 165. We'll begin with a peace devotion entitled Spiritual Breathing.
How to use your sword, how to use God's word in prayer. We've talked about how you can study God's word and chew on God's word, but then praying God's word back to Him. How is your prayer life? Well, if it's anything like mine, it's probably sporadic. There's all kinds of obstacles to a healthy prayer life. There's time, there's prioritization. Sometimes if you're trying to go through prayers at night, right before you fall asleep, you just get tired and you start sinking into sleep. Maybe there's a couple more things that tend to become obstacles to our prayer life too. Instead of being on a narrow Lutheran road of prayer, we may fall into either a ditch on either side. The Messiah complex or cynicism. What do I mean? Well, sometimes I fall into the Messiah complex, and that ruins my prayer life because I start to forget that I'm not the Messiah, that the Messiah has already come, and He's done a very good job redeeming and taking care of everything and saving this world. But sometimes I start to think, I need to be the Savior now. As a pastor, it's tough because we're using God's word and thinking, it's me who's going to make this church work well or bring people to faith. But as just anybody, we can start to think, I need to be the one to rescue my family or take care of myself. Everything is on me. And instead of bringing anything to prayer, we start to just keep it to ourselves because we have to be the hero in this situation. On the other side of things is cynicism. Is God really going to answer my prayer anyway? Does God really care about little old me with so many others out there? Is He just this God who watches over things and lets them happen? Or everything is determined anyway. God knows where things start and where they finish. So why bother praying? Neither of those things is biblical, is it? Instead, for all the times when I have failed to pray for the things that would be helpful for me in my life, the things that would be good for people in my life, when I've failed to bring my prayers to God, and you have to hear this encouragement from our triune God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, we see that this is happening all the time. Who then is the one that condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Maybe your conscience starts to feel guilty about your prayer life. Who is the one who can condemn you for that? Nobody anymore, because Jesus has washed away your sins, and Jesus is right there interceding for you. He is the perfect prayer in your place. He's in between us and God, speaking on our behalf to God the Father. If you want to know what that sounds like, maybe go back and read through John chapter 17 and Jesus' high priestly prayer. See, He brings us before the throne of grace. And then for those times when we just don't know what to pray for, when there's big things going on in our life, we don't know what we should do and we're just speechless. Listen to what else God says, how the Holy Spirit helps us in Romans 8, verse 26. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. When we don't know what to pray for, when we're just saying, oh, God, the Holy Spirit takes those imperfect prayers and brings them perfect to God the Father, completely aligned with His will. So we've got Jesus. For every time I go silent, Jesus never goes silent. He's interceding for us. And we've got the Holy Spirit Himself bringing our prayers to God the Father. So now we read God's Word, and maybe we think about, who is it that we can pray for? Maybe you start with immediate family, extended family, church family, your community. God calls us to pray for our government officials. Bring those people to God. Maybe in a systematic way, on Monday you pray for these people, on Tuesday for these people. And then also remember that a neat way to pray is to think of it as spiritual breathing. You do this in connection with Bible reading, with your study of God's Word. You breathe in all the promises that God has for you, what He expects of you, what He's done for you, and then in prayer, you use His words and you breathe those things back to Him. In light of what I've heard you say, God, please help me with this. Thank you for that. I glorify you because you are like this. Spiritual breathing. Breathe in God's Word and breathe out His Word back to Him. May that bless you in your devotion and prayer life too.
Up next, a song from the Lutheran Cayley Orchestra, Children of the Heavenly Father. If you have something you don't like about a business, then sharing a complaint with the entry-level employee probably won't accomplish much. You know, if you want to make any impact, you need to use the phrase, "I would like to speak with the manager." It's not a phrase you want to use lightly, but whether you're making a compliment or a complaint, it adds real weight to what you say. Have you ever wondered what we might use for the spiritual equivalent of that phrase? Christians, of course, have several spiritual equivalents of "I would like to speak with the manager." Today we'll be going to be looking at one which Jesus shared at the start of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' disciples came to him once and asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." They basically wanted to know how to speak to the manager. You can read about their request in Luke 11. And in Matthew 6, you can read about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when he said, "This is how you should pray." Both occasions provide us the basis for what we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven," or you might be familiar with "Our Father who art in heaven," which is from the Book of Common Prayer, the basis for most traditional versions of the Lord's Prayer in English. Praying to the stars, praying to some unknown deity, or just sending a prayer to whoever might be listening won't work. It will get you far less than your rant to the drive-through window attendant. It should be obvious that unless you're talking to the person who's in charge, and he cares to listen, you're wasting your breath. Prayer is like that. Asking to speak to the manager of the universe might also seem like a futile effort. We don't deserve to have the Lord of all, the ruler of this universe, listen to our prayers. Who are we to say, "I'd like to speak to the manager of all things who rules all for all eternity"? But our relationship with him has changed. He has chosen to make us his own children. Christians are no longer just part of the natural family they were born into. They are born into a new family. All people are born under the curse of death, doomed to die, enemies of God, and slaves to the devil, under his sway. But Christians have the promise of a new spiritual birth and new status. God says in his word that they are born again. They have been adopted into the family of God through faith. By the work of Jesus, the Son of God, they have been purchased from slavery to sin, from death, and from the devil. All Christians, as part of the family of believers, are brothers and sisters in Christ, and they are children of God. Our Father in heaven. Also, notice the word "our." Jesus taught this prayer to say it together. It is good for Christians to pray this prayer together. Certainly, a Christian can pray alone, but they shouldn't ever think they are alone as a child of God, nor should they aim to remain alone. They should join with others in praying to their Father. Christians don't have to ask to speak to the manager. They have an even better way to approach the one who's in charge. They call him Father. Their dad doesn't own the company. He owns all things and rules over all power. He is our Father in heaven. Just as a child can turn to their loving Father, knowing he will hear and answer, Christians can pray to God their Father, who has made them his own child. And he is in heaven. He rules over all things. He created all things and sustains all things. Jesus taught this prayer for Christians to pray. They pray to their Father in heaven. Even though they are sinners, they can come to their God in full confidence he loves and hears. Sinners can dare to call him their Father because of his great love. He doesn't hear and answer because the child of God has been sinless. He hears, despite their sins, because he has adopted them into his family in his great mercy and love. Jesus invites you to be part of that family of believers and to pray to your merciful, loving Father in heaven. I'm Tom Barthel, pastor at Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. God's richest blessings are yours in Jesus. This next message from the blog Upside Down Savior is based on Isaiah chapter 25.
Hi, I'm Pastor Nathan Nass with a short devotion from God's Word. This devotion is called A Shelter from the Storm. The story is told of two painters who decide to have a contest. who could draw a better picture of peace? The first man painted a beautiful mountain scene with a perfectly calm lake in the middle. Can you picture it? He didn't win. The second man painted a steep cliff with a violent waterfall. The sky was ominous. The wind blew across the canvas. Next to the waterfall stood a dead tree. A branch from the dead tree reached out in front of the thundering waterfall. There on that branch of that dead tree sat a little bird, perfectly at peace in its little nest. That second painter won. True peace is finding shelter from the storm. That's the peace that Jesus brings to those who trust in him. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat." Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4. True peace isn't having a trouble-free life. True peace is a strength to be at peace even in the middle of the storm, even in the middle of the heat. True peace is found in Jesus. Jesus is your shelter from the storm. Your sins have been forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus' presence means you're never alone. Jesus' promise of heaven robs even death of its power. In every trouble of life, Jesus is your shelter from the storm.
We'll close with a song shared by Koine. This is from their Turnkey Worship. It's titled, "The Gospel Shows the Father's Grace."
The gospel shows the Father's grace, who sent his Son to save our race, proclaims how Jesus lived and died, that we might thus be justified. It sets the Lamb before our eyes, who made the atoning sacrifice, and calls the souls with guilt oppressed to come and find eternal rest. It brings the Savior's righteousness
listening to Kanenbaum Podcast, episode number 165, first shared in June of 2023. To learn more about those who contributed to this segment, you can visit kanenbaumpodcast.com. We encourage you to visit a Wells Ministry location nearest you. Visit wells.net. Thanks for joining us, and remember his promised rest.